from stpetecatalyst.com.
You know, I never know when this thing works. It says live, and then I get a weird screen, and gosh. It's Phil DeYoung, and it's the Catalyst Sessions yet again, and you may have been staring at us for a minute before I figured that one out. But, you know, our art is never perfect, right? So let's call this art. Listen, if you know anything about musical theater, you know that the term triple threat is way overused, but there aren't that many triple threats out there. But let me tell you about Alison Burns. She's an actor, a singer, a dancer, a writer, a teacher. She's a mom, too, which we'll talk about, and also a stage favorite. She's been on every stage around here many, many times as an actress, a singer, choreographer, a dancer. You get the idea. Anyway, please say hi to Alison Burns. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
How's the isolation treating you?
Oh, you know, ready for it to be over, but it's all right. It's all right. There's been some good and some bad. There's some new things I'll adopt from this that has been nice to kind of slow down. But there's a lot of things I miss.
Well, you know, let's talk about when the curtain came down, as it were, because I know you've done a lot of choreography with Jobsite over the years. You work with Jobsite, but when this happened, you were in the middle of directing and choreographing Shout the Mon musical.
That's right.
Seems very Allison to me.
It is.
at the Jape Theater, because I've started doing those shows again. When the big C, as we call it, you know, shut the curtain down. But I got to say, you know, you were halfway into your run then. You got farther along than a lot of people did.
Yeah, it was some good and some bad to that. We definitely were, you know, halfway into the run, which was the great part. People got to see it. They got to get excited about it. You know, the bad part is that the girls didn't know their last show was going to be their last show, which is crazy as an actor. You know, it's there's something special about knowing, you know, it's your last show. It's the closing night. There's a little bit of a different energy. So it was hard. My husband never got a chance to see it because
I'll be there next week.
Honey. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had made plans. And so he never got to see the show. So it was hard. Now, but I do believe we're bringing it back.
Oh, hey.
So I don't know if that's out there in the world yet, but I do believe that is the plan.
It is now.
Sorry, guys. Sorry if I messed up there. But spoiler alert, I do believe that they're trying to bring it back next season. Again, that's all, you know, up in the air. Who knows what is going to happen. But
you weren't performing in that. I mean, you were just part of the creative.
Right. I directed and choreographed it. So
Shout is a jukebox musical, right? It's a sort of
it is.
Girl group songs. And
Five amazing women.
Hairdos.
Yep. We had amazing wigs by Scott Daniel. And we had this fun, you know, colorful set. And it was a lot of fun. Everyone, you know, everyone loves the music of the, you know, 60s, 70s. And so it was a blast. So I really hope. And the girls really bonded, which I loved. I loved having this strong group of women whom some of them were brand new to me and some of them I had worked with before kind of come together and form a friendship. And they actually, I am proud to say, they still do Zoom meetings. They still have they get together over Zoom and have cocktail nights. So I love
that. They have brush up rehearsals.
Can you imagine? Guys, we got to keep it together.
Unfortunately, I can't imagine that.
I know.
Hey, listen. Let me turn the clock back a minute. You told me you were a military brat. You were born wherever you were born, but did you grow up in New York?
No, actually. I was born in Pensacola, Florida, but I lived in Iowa, Texas, Washington State, and I went to all of junior high and high school in Arkansas. And then
lived to talk about it.
I know, right? And then the second I graduated, I moved to New York. So I moved to New York City at 18, a few days after my 18th birthday, and I went to AMDA for school.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. Do you remember, some people have an exact moment, some people just have a show, but do you remember when musical theater grabbed you by the collar and said, "You are mine"?
I do. And what's crazy is growing up, I was a church singer. So that's kind of how I got my in. Every new city we'd move to, I was like, I'll sing in the choir. I'll sing in church. So that was kind of how I found my group of friends.
Yeah.
I actually did not see a show until I moved to New York at 18. I had never wow. seen a show.
So you hadn't, I'm assuming you hadn't been in a show then.
No. So my high school was super small, and it was all about the football. It was all, you know, it was Sherwood, Arkansas. It was all about the football games.
Yeah. The Friday arts Night department Lights, baby.
Yeah. Yep, was very small. And my drama teacher, her name is Jeannie Gray, she saw some talent in me because I was part of the drama department, although we didn't really do a lot. I remember we did a production of James and the Giant Peach, and I played the singing centipede, but we had no music. I had to create my own tunes wow. and just sing.
So the roots of your creative
My senior year, she asked me if I wanted to compete in this local musical theater competition. It was kind of like a thespian thing, but it was a smaller thing. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And she actually found the Over the Moon monologue and song from Rent. Mm. And she said, go with this. And that was the first time I'd ever even heard Rent. And I went not knowing anything about this competition. And I took first place. And I was like, I love this. So I have to attest it to that high school drama teacher. And I got to tell you, when I was in New York and did my off-Broadway debut, she flew from Arkansas and was sitting in that front row.
That's very
so. Right. It was really cool. Yeah,
you went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, and I'm glad you talked about Maureen, who is kind of my favorite character in Rent. But did you literally once you graduated get the national tour? They thought, man, this girl's good. Let's. Was it that easy?
Well, yes and no. I did audition in October. I graduated in October, and I auditioned that very same month. And by December, I was on tour. So yeah, a few months after. And I
what
actually,
was that like? I mean, here you were, this little kid from, you know, Arkansas.
I was 19. I was 19 years old. We actually just did our first ever Zoom Rent cast reunion just a few weeks ago, and it had been 20 years, and I was like, oh my gosh, you guys knew me when I was 19 years old. Wow. So it was crazy, but it was amazing. It was life-changing. It was the first time I had ever, you know, done anything remotely like that. But I do want to say it was good and bad, because getting that role at 19, I thought that was it. I was like, great. So now I do the national tour. I come back. I'll audition for more things. I'll get
here
it.
Here I go.
And then I'll book a Broadway show. It's just from there. But I actually, once I got off tour, almost 2 years later, at like 21, I didn't book for a whole year. Wow. And so I was like, wait, what? But I just did the national tour of Rent. What do you mean? So it was actually a good learning, you know, lesson for me, because I realized that it's not just because you do one big thing doesn't mean the next thing is going to be bigger, or, you know, you just got to keep doing what you love, regardless of what you think, if it's the
business. I mean, that's a cutthroat business though. Exactly. So you did the national tour. Rent had been around for a while then, but how many dates are we talking about? How long was that?
Oh, well, it was actually the first non-EC national tour. It was the first tour. And I joined them in December. They had already started tour. I was a replacement. Mm-hmm. It just kept going after that. They would just re-sign contracts. So I did it for almost 2 years.
Wow.
And then,
that's a lot of over the moon.
They kept going after that. Oh yeah. It was a lot of over the moon, but it was a blast. It was so much
fun. Tell me about Disenchanted, which was off Broadway. Tell me what that show is, because it sounds to me like it's a Disney parody or something.
That's it. Disney
bingo.
Parody.
Okay, so tell me about it.
Yeah, it's Disney. It's the Disney princesses, but kind of more of a real life take on them. So
they're not all drunk, are they?
No, only one. One. Just the Little Mermaid, who I did play. I actually played three characters. And I played.
So you were Belle and
the Little Mermaid and Rapunzel.
I knew you were Belle and Little Mermaid and Ariel, and who else?
Rapunzel.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I got to live in New York City for almost a year. I spent half of the time rooming with Michael Raby, who I know that you know.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And then the other half rooming with my best friend Lulu. So it was a blast to be able to go and check off that bucket list of, you know, performing in the city. I met some amazing friends. And it was a lot of fun.
Okay, well, okay. Well, and see, I'm jumping around here, which is what we interviewers do. You came here, you came to Florida in 2004. Was that St. Pete, or was it somewhere else? And why? Okay. Why did you come to Florida? Oh,
we're about to get deep, Bill.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
I actually moved to Tampa area with my first husband. So I met him in New York City. And he was from Tampa. So his entire family lived here. So I moved here with him just to kind of get out of the city for a little bit. It was, again, it's hard. It's a hard life. You're poor. I was living in Astoria and like this fourth floor walk up, living off ramen noodles. So we kind of took a break and came to Tampa. And we kind of settled down here. I had my oldest daughter, Emma, who's now 15 here. And then when she was about 6 weeks old, I saw an ad in the paper, this is how old this is, for an audition at the Straz, which was then the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
And I went and auditioned, and I ended up booking a replacement role for one of the shows in the Jabe immediately when Emma was 6 weeks old. And then by the time she was one, me and my first husband had split up. Hmm. Now I was kind of I was a single mom in Tampa, and I didn't have any, you know, immediate family here. And the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center like housed me, basically. They put me in every show. And if I couldn't be in the show, I was working backstage. That's or cool. I was working as a dresser. I called a show once as a stage manager fill in. So I was working with Carla Hartley there and Rick Criswell and Scott Belowski with that group of people for till Emma's was five, for 5 years. So I stayed in Tampa to kind of do the single mom thing and keep doing what I love. And then when she was about six, right after the Wonderland debacle at the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center, that's when I moved to St. Pete.
I don't know what the Wonderland debacle is because I've only lived here for a few years. Maybe we'll have to wait till we're done.
That's a whole nother.
There may be a story.
Whole nother interview.
I want to look at a couple of pictures if that's all right.
Okay.
And I think this one I couldn't get as large as I wanted, but we'll give it a shot anyway. Okay. It is from, I think it's from American Stage. And if I'm not mistaken, this is Rent.
Yes.
2011.
Yeah. So it was really cool because I got to reprise that role. I got to play Maureen again 10 years later. I was 29 there. And this is literally how I met my best friend, Lulu, who's right there. She's right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Looking all, yeah. So that's where we met.
Badass.
Changed my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you literally met at this show.
Yeah. We met and we played girlfriends. They were like, here you go.
Oh, so she was Joanne. Oh, I get
it. Okay. Yeah.
Who else is in? I think Amy Gray's in there somewhere.
Yes, Amy Gray. She is in this somewhere. Ricky Kona,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Pete Zicky in there. Yeah, we had a blast.
You've done a lot of park shows with American. This was a park show, yeah.
Yeah, this was my first park show, and I actually got my equity card this way. They gave me my equity card. Todd Olson was the director at the time, the artistic director. But I've done five park shows.
Yeah.
It's like one of my top favorite things to do. I was so upset this year when they couldn't, because I wasn't in Footloose, but I always, even if I'm not in it, my favorite thing to do is to go sit in the park and drink and watch the show.
You know, it's a great question. Because I have a photo from Mamma Mia that I'm about to bring up.
And yeah.
We'll talk about that, but five park shows. What is that like for a performer? I think I asked Becca this once and it's just the universe is right in front of you. That's got to be, I don't know, pretty cool.
It is. You feel like a rock star, which is awesome. It's an experience that is not like any other theater experience, because I feel like a lot of times theater has to be, it feels reverent.
There you are, feels like
a rock star. Oh, gosh. I loved that show. Oh.
You still have this outfit, by the way? That's right.
I wish. Are you kidding? I would have worn it today. Oh, and those ladies are amazing. That's Jen Byrne, Becca McCoy. Yeah. Everybody knows. This was such a blast. I was so thankful to Stephanie Gellart for casting me in this role.
How different is it though from, you get a lot of echo maybe off the buildings?
Yeah, but it's not terrible. It's you really kind of forget about it. It feels larger than life anyway. And Oh, forgive me. I forget the guy who did the sound for the past few years, but they are so amazing, and
It's a
they
great
just
team.
have, oh, it's so great. I mean, the whole American stage team out there, it's amazing what they put together. But and it's cool because you get people who come to theater who would never go to regular theater. You get, the people who they only come because they can sit outside and drink, which is kind of cool. You get the kids who are running around on the side who normally can't sit still, but it's okay. They're out there running around
Oh,
and
yeah.
playing and dancing to the music, and it's unlike any other theater experience that you'll ever experience. So it's really fun.
Do you ever talking speaking of that, I mean, do you ever kind of get the this like wild desire to say, I want to do Shakespeare next? I mean, it's essentially this is what you do is musical theater. But I mean, you don't sort of say, hey, well, I can do the all girl waiting for Godot next or something, you know.
Well, I do have to say I've done one Shakespeare show. I did it at Free Fall. We did Comedy of Errors, and Eric cast me as Adriana. It's not something that comes naturally to me. Although I can be very serious, I am not. I really do enjoy. That's why the Comedy of Errors worked for me, because it had more of a playfulness about it. My husband and I, kind of joke about this a lot because he's such a serious actor and like doesn't like to be silly. And I'm just like, whatever, like
Oh, you're a
walk
perfect match then,
along with that.
yeah.
Exactly. I don't know, Shakespeare. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to kind of grasp that poetic. Even though as musical theater people, I feel like actually do pretty well with like the cadence of it and the rhythm, but God bless Eric Davis, man. He worked with me a lot a few years ago to get that role and to get that rhythm and the feeling out of a lot of these words, because it does not come natural to me. So I guess in answer to your question, no,
No.
I don't ever think about doing Shakespeare.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Eric because this is obviously the next picture, which was
Oh,
Pippin. You came right out of Mamma Mia
I
into
did.
this at
I
Free Fall.
did.
And let's see if I had this right. I seem to remember that Pippin was like a last minute substitution for something that had fallen off the schedule.
Yes.
So did you have a break at all between Mamma Mia and the park and going into this?
I think I had a week or two, but listen, isn't that like the best problem to have in the theater world?
Yeah,
This show was so amazing. Eric is a genius. We all know that. To
Yeah.
bring like seven people together to put this giant, show on in this small space, it was amazing. I literally shaved my head for him. I'll do anything for that man. Like half of my head was shaved. It's still like trying to grow out here.
Oh, yeah, the
Yeah.
Pastrana
Yeah, exactly.
look.
Oh, yeah, but that show was amazing. We had a great cast. I got to dance a lot in that too. I got to do a lot of stuff that I would never audition for, that he just trusted me with, which is really cool.
I'm sorry, what do you mean you wouldn't audition for
Well,
this?
like I would never go to a dancer call. Like I would go to a singer who can move call. But in this show, I basically was the ensemble along with a couple other people. So some
That's
of the
right, because it
dancey
was just
things.
what the five, six, seven of you.
Yeah. So I
That's
had to
right.
play multiple roles, and we kind of told the audience I was different by changing out my shoes. So Fastrada always had the high heel on, and then my regular character had a low boot. But I had to do some like contemporary dancing. I had to do a lift at one point. It was actually really hard work. Emmanuel, Manny, him and I went into dance studios and practiced outside of rehearsal because we were like, this is so foreign to us. Even though I'm a mover, I'm a musical theater mover, a lot of this was very dancey. So it was definitely something that was out of my comfort zone, but it
Well,
was
I'll tell you something. This is interesting to me because I didn't notice it. You probably don't remember. I was actually there during a rehearsal one afternoon
Oh,
where
yeah.
Eric was finally comfortable enough to let me kind of hang around. And you were dancing. I remember
Yeah.
watching, and Eric was talking to you about, and it was amazing then, and then it was amazing when we saw the show.
Thanks.
Okay, after that, I know you do a lot of work with Stageworks and with Carla Hartley, who's one of my
Yes.
favorite people on the
Me
planet.
too.
And I saw you in Ordinary Days, which I don't have a
Yeah.
photo from, unfortunately, but you had a break after Pippin. It was a few months.
Yeah,
later.
Few months.
what is it like? I mean, does each venue have its own sort of vibe, character for you? Mm-hmm. Like, if I go to Stageworks, I know it's going to be this kind of thing. Job sites like this, and you know, Free Fall, American Stage, whatever. Comfort zones, like, are they all kind of the same at this point now?
I think they definitely have different vibes. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that they all, each director has a different vibe. I had never been directed by Stephanie before, so that was a new vibe for me. It was amazing. Yeah. American Stage definitely has, you know, what they do every time with, you know, the first day of rehearsal is a meet and greet with the whole cast, and, you know, it's during the day. Free Fall, you show up the first day and it's a table read during the day. Stageworks, they mostly do night rehearsals because, like Job Site, they try to cater to the working actor. So they put their rehearsals at night. So it's a little bit of a different feel. People are coming off of a work day. So it is, I think, a little bit more, relaxed isn't the right word, but it's just a little bit more lenient as far as like, let's get here, let's all decompress from our day, you know, as the other two theaters are more like it's a 9 to 5, and that, you know what I mean?
Then but it's also nice, isn't it, that you know all these people by now.
Oh, like, yes.
You said Eric trusted you that you can do this, Allison.
Yes.
That kind of thing. And that comes from being here for at least a little while and having work with them.
Yeah.
I want to get to yet another fabulous photograph. I'm doing pretty well here tonight. Now you got to tell me about this, which is $10,000 day. Explain to everyone who's watching this, the thousands and thousands of people.
Yes.
About your podcast, what you and Lulu do, and give us the premise and just tell us about it.
Yeah. So Lulu and I, a little over 3 years ago, we decided we wanted to create something. We were kind of tired of waiting to get hired. And so we were like, we want to create our own thing. We had done cabarets. That's something that we love to do together. And we were like, let's create something together. And she's actually the one who was like, let's do a podcast. And I was like, well, what's a podcast? And she told me about it. Yeah. So we decided to create a podcast together, and it is absolutely my passion project. I never in a million years thought that I would be that person, but I am obsessed with this job with her. I work on it so many hours of every day trying to make it better and better. And we decided, we called it $10,000 day because when we were living together in New York during the Disenchanted time, we were very poor. We were living on the D train, like way out in Brooklyn. Like, it took sometimes 2 hours to get home. Okay. And we would sit on the train and we'd play a game. We would say, what would you do right now if you had $10,000 just to spend? What would you do? And it mostly revolved around, like, we'd go to this hotel and we'd order room service and we'd, you know, go to the spa. So when we were trying to create this podcast, we decided that that's what we wanted to do it on, was spending $10,000 a day somewhere. So we called it $10,000 day. And what we say is, it's a comedy podcast about imaginary luxury travel, because we really don't have money. So we take $10,000, each of us, and we pick a place in the world, and we try to spend $10,000 in one day in that place. So we really research these things. We research the hotels. We research restaurants, activities, all kinds of stuff. And we add up the day and we try to get to $10,000. So it's actually it's real research that if you had the money, you could absolutely take this as a travel guide and go spend your crazy money.
But it is comedy. I mean,
it's comedy. Yes. Yeah. Because now I've been one place. We actually took a real trip last year for her birthday. We went to Sweden. We went to Stockholm, which was my first time out of the country. But other than that, I have not traveled outside of the US other than my military experience with my dad. Yeah. So I don't know how to pronounce things. I don't know any types of other food or cuisines, you know? So it becomes a comedy because I'm researching things I know nothing about. And she never knows where I'm going in my day, and I don't know where she's going. So there's that kind of improv as well. So over 3 years, we not only have our full episodes where we do our imaginary travel, but now we also have 10K Saturdays, which is where we interview someone and we ask them what they would do with this money in one day. And then we kind of do an interview. And then When we went into quarantine, I think it was March 16th, we decided to go daily. So we also do a daily now, 10 minutes. We call them $10K dailies, where
Wow.
for 10 minutes a day, we just talk about what's happening in the world. And so every week now, we produce 9 episodes a week
So
and
how many
release
of these
those.
the hour long ones, how many have you done?
Those are once a week. We have 128 hour longs. Yeah.
This is all original material,
All original.
backed up by research.
Yes. And we have an amazing blog. Our website is 10kdollarday.com. And we have a producer who lives in Nashville, and she does our blog, and she does all the research and the pictures. And we speak at podcast conferences now. Like, I'm like, who am I? I'm like
Yeah,
going to these.
what is it? The Outlier Podcast Festival in
Yeah, we
May.
just did that. It was a virtual summit, but we've traveled to Atlantic City and we've spoken live there. We spoke at the Respect Podcast in Festival for Women in Philadelphia last year. So we've done a lot of different podcast conferences and live shows. We love to do it as a live show. We've done one at Free Fall. We've done one at Penguin Entertainment in Orlando. We do house parties. If anyone wants a house party, we'll do it as it's like a, it's stand up meets improv, So it's
Can I
fun.
call you like an octuple threat now or something? Or,
Sure,
yeah,
let's make it up. I make
that
everything
one
else up.
to your resume. So it's 10kdollarday.com
Yeah, that's
where
it.
you can check this out.
Yeah.
You're also a teacher. Find Your Light Coaching. Is that that's
Yeah.
your company?
Yeah, it's actually me and Lulu. We started that as well in when we were living in New York together because we were doing virtual lessons in New York City while I was there doing Disenchanted. And then when I got back from Disenchanted, we opened up a studio in Seminole. And then so I have students come in and she does it virtually. I do it as a stationary business here. So I mostly teach most of the things. And yeah, and since the pandemic, we've gone virtual, back to virtual. So I do virtual voice and acting lessons with kids of all ages. We do public speaking courses. We help podcasters turn their, their podcast into live shows now. So we have that whole aspect of Find Your Light. And starting in August, I'm actually moving Find Your Light from we were housed out of Cineview, which is my husband's company, but we're actually moving and we're joining forces with the Bridge Dance Complex in Largo. So they have literally built me a little studio, and so I'm going to be teaching voice and acting out of the Bridge Dance Complex, where I'll get to see hundreds of students every day. So
You're
I'm
looking forward to that, aren't you?
very excited about that. Yes.
Once the curtain finally lifts.
Once the curtain lifts and we can actually see each other.
What else you got? We got about 2 minutes left here. What else are you up to these days?
Oh, what else? What else? We also, Lulu and I and our listeners, we have a Facebook group called 10K Dollar Bays, and it's an amazing group of listeners who this community of wonderful people, and we actually just started a not-for-profit, and it's called Thank You 5 NYC, and you can find that at thankyou5nyc.org. And we're actually donating food and coffee and meal breaks to all the hospitals in New York City during all of this. So we've been able to, I don't know the exact total, I know it's over $5,000 in the past few months that we've raised for the doctors and nurses in New York. And it started because one of our listeners, who is a doctor, he posted on our Facebook group, he's like, if you guys are looking to help, we just need coffee. That's all he said. And our listeners were like, how do we give? What do we do? And we started raising so much money that another person reached out and they're like, you guys need to start like a not-for-profit because you have too much money. We're like, okay. So now we have that going as well.
Too much money.
I know, it was a good problem to
I
have.
wanted you
So.
to hear. Have you? I don't. I was talking. Who was I talking with? I'm sorry. I was talking with Amelia Sargent last night,
Yeah.
the rep. And they've laid out, and I think Eric's done this too. And people are laying out the 2021 season, with that sort of proviso that if we're back, this is how it's going to go. You got anything on a line somewhere for the
I
next one?
do. I was actually supposed to right now be in rehearsals with Free Fall in Oz,
And
their
Oz.
original show. So I was cast in that. And that's been put on hold. I'm not sure when Eric wants to do that. I don't know if it's going to be, they have thrown around either the holiday season or the end of next season. So the end of 2021. But when that is here, I definitely will be starring in Oz at Free Fall.
You tell me, I know that Chris is playing Baum. Who are you
playing? Uh-huh. I haven't been told exactly, but I do believe, maybe I should just say it, that way I'll get the role, the one I want. I do believe I'm playing his wife.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. B.
Yes, Mrs. B.
Mrs. L. Frank.
Yes.
Well, Allison Burns, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you enough for doing this with us tonight.
And, of course.
Tomorrow night, we're talking with Ray Roa, who is the editor-in-chief of Creative Loafing. Having some difficulties, but all weeklies are necessary in our lives, and we wish them the best. We're going to be talking with Ray about that tomorrow. Allison, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Bill.
Continued success, and we'll see you on the stage soon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
From stpetecatalyst.com.